This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hello and welcome. My name's Suze, and it is my absolute delight to be your host for the next hour here on Contact Talk Radio. We're flipping the switch, as always, on Thursday afternoons, but today I'm flipping the switch with an incredible group of people. It is our annual advance in Calgary, where the practitioners from across Canada and the States gather and come together for a weekend of community and connection and just furthering our skills and abilities and how we repattern. And this year we're supporting a whole new group of people. We have 150 people coming on the weekend to join us at the Flip Your Switch event. I know we've been talking about that over the course of the last couple of months, and we'll be talking about how you can also join us in January. But what I'd like to do first is just have a great big hello from all the practitioners to all of the listeners. So here we go on 1, 2, 3.
Hello!
Here we go. So welcome. And today's topic is, appropriately enough, community. And one of the things that we always do in the belief repatterning community is we choose a word of intention. And I just had a big giggle this morning. There's 999 words in that list that I created called Pocket Full of Possibilities. And my word today, connection. Go figure. I just laughed out loud when that one happened. So I don't know what your word is today, but you know, you could add it with that connect idea and move it together. So did anybody else have a word today that they picked that they want to share with the group? Shelley, go ahead.
Mine was possibilities.
Oh, great. So how would you connect possibilities and connection?
I would say that I'm able to make possibilities with the connections that I make every day.
Nice. How about every connection I make opens a new possibility?
Absolutely.
All right. So that's kind of one of the ways that we in the community use the words and do that. So Shelley, while you're here, you know, we talked about a little bit about sort of how, what the community does for you, what belief or patterning's done for you. Do you mind sharing that with our listeners?
I'd love to share that with the listeners. I came into belief repatterning in a crisis mode, and that turned into my awareness that that's the only time I would ask for help was when I was in crisis. And I'm happy to say today that that crisis doesn't happen as severely. It happens, and now I know I've got a community that can pick up a phone and get someone to support me. And the belief repatterning technique within minutes can have me out of that down moment, that crisis moment, and back to what feels like normal to me now.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because you mentioned that crisis place, and oftentimes that is where people decide to reach out. It's when they're in crisis. What really upsets and concerns me is when people don't reach out when they're in that crisis place and when they fold into themselves, which I think is the more common way of kind of going about things. And until they're kind of desperate, then they you know, go, holy smoke, something's got to happen here. And then they may reach out for help. And one of the things that's really beautiful about the repatterning technique is that you don't go to that desperate place. You might go down for sure. Like, we're all human, you know, not enough sleep, not enough water, not enough hugs, not enough time, not enough something. And so you can go into that place. But when you've got that community to support you, even if you don't connect with them directly, there's that kind of way that you can sort of connect in, just knowing that there's someone out there that respects it and can support you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been wonderful. And again, I feel like I'm not in that old habit anymore. I know that I am far more grounded, happy, calm, and centered, to the point that I even asked my husband last night. I let him know that we're going to have this show and that I'd be sharing how has belief repatterning supported me? And I said, what's your perspective? Mm-hmm. Well, he spoke for nearly 5 minutes, and that's a lot for my guy.
And isn't that nice? Because, that, you know, as you say, like, we can see some of the changes for ourselves. But one of the expressions that a friend of mine used to use that I love is it's hard to see the picture when you're inside the frame. Mm-hmm. And so getting that perspective from outside to see how. So what were some of the things that he pointed out that he had noticed?
He noticed that I was able to formulate my words and bring things in a better communication manner, that I am far more calm around the children and around him. And, you know, I can't remember what else, but it was just, it was peaceful. It was loving. Like, those were the words that he used. And it's not like I wasn't that before. It's just that I was showing up more consistently now.
Mm-hmm. And I would say for sure, confidence and empowerment and that solid place that you come from. Because we've known each other for, I was surprised when you told me your son was 15 because he was very little when I first met you. So I'm not quite sure how long that makes us having known each other, but it's quite some time. And that just being able to live from that place of who you really are and stay connected from that place. So really appreciate we may pop back to you later on in the show. Shelley, thanks so much for joining us. So today's show is all about community. And this man is an island. It just happens to be one of those phrases, no man's an island. Trying to operate as a lone wolf doesn't work. Please excuse me for mixing the metaphor. I know that you know what I mean. And that is when we retreat into ourselves, we pull back from those who care about us, and we put up barriers. When we're in a solid and centered place, we know that that doesn't work. But when we're in fear or anger or self-doubt or anything else that drains our energy, we can sometimes forget we're part of a community. And that very community is what will support us to find ourselves again when that very community is going to support us when we're lost. So let's just, Carolyn, thanks for joining us. You were one of the early adopters
in 2001 or two.
So welcome. This is the first time that you've been on the show with me.
Yes, it is.
And so can you tell listeners just a little bit about, you know, what brought you to belief repatterning or what's happened? I mean, it's been almost 15 years since we met.
Yes.
But what's your favorite bit about it, or what would you like to share?
I find that I use belief repatterning all the time. Whenever I have some kind of an issue or whenever I have a decision to make, any part of my life, it's just part of it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point, isn't it? That we consciously train our minds so that the subconscious mind, which is so powerful and so strong and so able to support us, is there and has the tools that we need to get through wherever we are. And when you say it's there all the time, yeah, it's there all the time. It's there in the good times too, you know, reinforcing and acknowledging and helping us. And I think so many people just kind of ignore that big, powerful subconscious mind that they have and just kind of, well, I don't know that they're ignoring it. I'm not sure that they know they can train it.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that's what the point is. So what's one of your favorite kind of repatterning stories? Might be one of yours or a client's. Do you have one that you would like to share with folks? I put you on the spot, didn't I?
You did. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, we'll maybe come back to that then.
Yeah.
And, you know, while you're listening, just some of the thoughts and changes that you've noticed, because I know we have some consistent listeners that have been listening to the Flipping Your Switch for the last 3 or 4 years. And some of them may in fact have some things that they want to share. We're not doing call-ins today, but we would absolutely love to hear from you on Facebook or pop off an email to office@beliefrepatterning.com. So one of the people that we're going to call up here next is Meg. And Meg you'll be able to figure out where she's from as soon as she starts talking, maybe. But she's flown in for the advance. And you met us first through Hay House Radio before we came onto Contact Talk Radio, or...
Yes, it was through Hay House.
Great. Well, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So when you think about belief repatterning in the community, what's the number one thing that pops into your mind, Meg?
Well, really, it's how I've been able to take belief repatterning into the other communities I'm a part of. I mentor 45 women who are aged 18 to 22 who are in college. I'm a sorority advisor. And if you can't tell, I'm from the South.
Say South again. Go ahead. Say Missouri for me.
I'm not from Missouri, but I'm from the South. And, you know, it's a really challenging time for young women, 18 to 22, their first time away from home. And it's been so interesting because they don't know that I'm using it. I'm just bringing that energy into the interactions. In the last 2 years since I started, you know, really delving into belief root patterning, they've excelled where they were recognized at their international conference. Sorry, I get a little verklempt about this.
Yeah, exactly.
They were one of the top 19 chapters out of 153.
That's amazing.
And 3 years ago, they were kind of on the other side of that.
Yeah.
And just to see the women step into leadership and really own their power is amazing. Like when I first started, I felt like a mom.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, the older sister's like, yeah, you might want to do this instead. And right. They just run with it. Like, I don't have to worry, which is so nice because I see them and they're like, yeah, we can get the top award. We can do it in 2 years. And 3 years ago, they're like, oh, no way. We can't do that. That's impossible. We've never gotten it. And
so it's increased their confidence, their knowing, their stepping into their real selves. They're coming forward with all of their potential.
Yeah, because I so often, you know, and I've just seen this, you know, we shy away from leadership when we shouldn't, when we know more. And I mean, even in my family, like, you know, my mom's kind of stepped up and she started taking on more of her health issues head on. So she's like thriving now instead of something I have to worry about, you know, do I have to fly back up to Virginia, make sure things are okay. So, yeah, I mean, and it's great to come to Canada and like know you guys, even though I'd never really seen you guys. I mean, personally, I'd see you on the screen. That's kind of like a little different. You know, and it's hard to explain. I mean, you know, I've used it in so many different spots where I could have gone into crisis mode and I've been able to get out. The minute I feel it, I'm like, okay, I just got to find a word. I'm going to get to the line and that's it. Like, I can't worry about anything else.
Nice. Nice. So I just want to just reflect a little bit on the sorority, the gals that you're working with in the sorority. You've really been in a role of like what we would call positive self-talk coach with them, because you're not repatterning with them as a practitioner,
no,
but rather just being that positive ripple in the world, that influence that just moves out. And isn't it just a warm, wonderful feeling to be there, isn't it?
Well, and to hear their language change. That's the big thing. When they speak to each other, they speak with a level of respect they didn't have 3 years ago.
Nice. And that's because they respected themselves more. And that's part of what the repatterning work is about. Now, you know, I'm going to ask you to come back in a few minutes after we've talked to a couple of the other folks and tell your story about your marathon, because I think that the way you used belief repatterning in that marathon was awesome. So we'll get back to you. Thanks so much for popping in.
Thanks, Sue.
Is an island, and you know, we all are influencing everyone every day, all the time, continuously. And it doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're saying, even what we're thinking will influence people without us being aware of it. That subconscious mind is so powerful. And so having some skills so that you can show up in the world as your best self really helps. And that's what belief repatterning is all about. We do have the Inner Critic to Inner Coach coming up. And that's the evening event, and it's online, available November the 25th and December the, I think it's the 2nd. Let me just double check. It is the 2nd. November the 25th and December the 2nd, and those are Wednesdays, I believe, on my calendar. And they will the online Critic to Coach will be from 6 to 7:15 p.m. And that's Mountain, not daylight anymore, Mountain Standard Time. And so you can figure it out from there. Pacific Standard Time would be 5 to 6:15, and Eastern Standard Time would be 8 to 9:15. And I'll let everybody else do the math on their own. But that's November the 25th and December the 2nd, Wednesday evenings, for an hour and 15 minutes each. And during that time, we'll give you some really practical and pragmatic things that you can use to help move your energy to, as Meg said, the other side of the line. That is, I guess I should tell you, that's an absolutely complimentary evening. No cost to you at all, no hidden costs, not even shipping and handling, because you can do it from the privacy of your own home, and so you can be wherever you want to be. We'll do that on both teleseminar, and you can also phone in, then you're on your own for your long-distance charges. But other than that, it's a complimentary evening, and it's my gift to whoever wants to pick it up, because it's just time that this world is kinder and more positive, and we're doing what we can to make that happen. So thanks for joining us today. You're listening to Suze Casey, and this is Flipping the Switch. And I have here as my guests today members of the Belief Repatterning Practitioner Community who are gathering in Calgary for our annual advance. Other people would, I guess, call it an annual retreat. But because we always speak on the upside of the line, we're calling it an annual advance. This is, in fact, I think it's the 8th or 9th. We started in 2006 or 7 doing this. And we always do it this weekend in October. It's always just a lovely, lovely reconnect time. So thank you so much. Speaking of joining us, flying in from Vancouver Island, Eileen McGann, who has been on our show many times and whose music has been a large part of the show often. And this time you're here as a practitioner live and in person, and it's really fun to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here live and in person.
Yeah. It's much more fun to hug in person than it is on Skype, isn't it?
Virtual hugs are great, but
they're better than no hugs at all.
That's right.
But, you know, and it's interesting because that community connection, although it's lovely when it's in person, it can also, I mean, technology is so fabulous that we can stay connected.
I love Skype. Mm-hmm. Because when you're seeing someone, you feel like you're there. And I find that this is one technique that will work even on Skype.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we do with our clients and often do the laser coaching by Skype. We can do it by phone just as easily, but Skype is just so much more immediate, isn't
it? Yeah. And it's nice to see everybody's faces and to see reactions and that kind of thing.
Well, and one of the things I've discovered is my clients that even live in the same city like to do it by Skype because they avoid the traffic across it. So, you know, it's a hugely effective tool to help people move forward. So what would you say? You've been in the community. In fact, you are one of the reasons that this all started.
Yeah.
Because you said, can you teach me how to do what you do? And I went, I don't really know what I do. I'm just doing it. I'm just trying to figure it out myself. And you said, I remember exactly what you said to me. You're a teacher. You write curriculum. Figure it out. Spoken as somebody who was also a teacher and wrote curriculum. And thank you for helping me figure it out.
You're welcome.
So you've been around since 2001. So what are your reflections on community and the Belief Repatterning community?
Well, it's such a great community, isn't it? I mean, we all support each other. And just knowing that you guys are out there is just helpful all the time. Mm-hmm. But our community goes beyond just the practitioners here to everyone that we've worked with. And then it moves out from there as well. All the people that all the practitioners have helped, all the people who've come to all the events over the years are all part of our community, and we feel connected with each other. And so you meet someone who isn't a practitioner but who has come in contact with practitioners, and you immediately have a point of connection, and you start talking about the stuff, and they say what kind of difference it's made to them in their lives. Mm-hmm. So this community is just growing and growing.
Well, I just, you know, when, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about the sorority girls that Meg was talking about, and I feel a connection with them, and I don't even know where they live.
Right.
But to know that, you know, the impact that I made impacted Meg, impacted those girls, impacted the people in their families, impacted the people that they are in contact with in their lives, is just that ripple effect is so huge. Huge. And I think that right now people are really looking for connection and community and belonging and something that matters to them.
And also authenticity. And that's something that's at the core of this technique. This is not about simply saying affirmations or trying to be positive all the time. This technique takes into account exactly where you are and looks at the real truth of it and then works from there. It's not about ignoring the negative. It's about recognizing it, saying hello to it, and then saying, where am I going now? And this is the technique that will take me to where I'm going now.
Right. And what's really cool, I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about the subconscious. I find that even in the last couple of days, I've had a bazillion, and that's a real number, bazillion things on my mind, logistics and content and registrations and people because we have this big weekend coming up, and even, you know, and not enough sleep. And, you know, of course this is the week that also there's, you know, two volunteer things with an organization that I'm really involved with that involved being up until 4 a.m. to help out at a casino in the count room. You know, so operating on not enough sleep. And even if I want to be cranky, it's like,
you don't get to be.
I don't get to be because my subconscious mind will repattern me up. So I'll mm-hmm. say something, and then immediately is like that switch gets flipped. And I think that's one of the things that I really like about it too, because, you know, people say to me, are you positive all the time? And I'm like, Well, more than I used to be, for sure. And when I'm not, I get back there really quickly.
Right. And we want to be authentic with it. You don't want to ignore it. If you're feeling grumpy, well, you're feeling grumpy. If your foot hurts, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Your foot hurts.
Yes.
And you can't just ignore it or pretend that it isn't there or just say affirmations. My foot feels fine. My foot feels fine. Because the back of your mind is going to say,
liar, pants on fire.
Exactly. So what this technique does is says, yes, my foot hurts. But how am I going to feel about that? I can't control the fact of the matter. What I can control is how I respond to it, how I continue to feel about it, and how I let it affect me and the way I interact with myself and with other people.
Interact with myself. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Because, you know, community, we're often looking outward, but there's also that community of me, myself, and I.
Yeah, and we tend to forget about that. And people who are carers by nature often just get sucked into caring for everybody else and not caring for themselves. And so you will ignore the negatives, not because you're trying to be fakely positive, but just because you're not taking time to recognize it and do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what this technique does so nicely and so quickly often, so concisely, is just let you say, here I am. That's where I want to be. And let me find the way to use this technique to take me on the steps to that place that I want to be.
Where's the pathway?
And part of that is self-care. Part of that is, what am I going to do now to support myself, to support my health, to deal with pain or a trauma or confusion or not enough sleep? What am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to talk to myself about how this is affecting me in a way that will make this day go better instead of worse?
So not beating up on yourself.
Yeah. Don't beat up on myself. Don't say, because I didn't get enough sleep last night, this day's going to be terrible.
How to set yourself up with intention.
Yeah. So you wake up, you say, okay, I didn't get enough sleep, but you know what? I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I got good things to do today, and I'm going to meet great people, and I'm going to get energy from that. And that will get me through. And I'm going to get through to the end of the day and have a really good night's sleep tonight.
Right. Yeah. And I know that's one of the things that I often will do is just say, well, my mind woke me up, so it must be feeling like we're rested enough.
Yeah.
So off we go.
Off we go. And I often find I get great ideas in the middle of the night. Yeah. Ideas for songs, ideas for paintings.
Yes.
I got one last night. I need to write it down before I forget. I was awake at 4:00. And in the midst of being annoyed at being awake at 4:00, I got this idea. So then I say, oh, I'm grateful for that. That's why I woke up.
I can be annoyed or I can be creative. I choose creative.
Exactly.
Yeah, super. Well, thank you so much, Eileen, for popping in.
You're welcome.
We may come back again, but it's now time for us to take a quick station break. Boy, time flies when we've got lots of people to talk to today. I'm Suze Casey. You're listening to Flipping the Switch, and you're on CTR Network. And we will be back after a couple of minutes of quick station identification and a few things that you might want to know about belief repatterning. Take care. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to integrate belief repatterning into your everyday way of being? Discover effective ways to flip your switch between your own inner critic and inner coach. Changing your thoughts changes your behavior and creates the outcomes you desire personally, professionally, physically, and spiritually. Join me for the teleseminar. Over 3 weeks, you'll receive focused, individualized coached practice time, and we'll walk through the book. I'll support you with more practical suggestions. Your $99 investment also gives you access to our learning center and recordings of all the calls. For upcoming dates and to register, visit beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com, or call 403-286-9380. Learn how your inner thoughts and self-talk affects your behavior, your energy, and the energy of others. You can and will repattern anything you choose.
My grand used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, The Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thought. It's available through HayHouse.com or your local bookstore.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm Suze, and it's my absolute pleasure to be with you for the next 30 minutes on Contact Talk Radio. Today on Flipping the Switch, we're talking about community, and it is all about community. And this was, you know, kind of started when I was thinking about today because I knew that the community of repatterning practitioners was gathering. I know that we've got 150 people coming for Flip Your Switch, the live event this weekend, which we're really excited about, Friday night, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And if you're sitting there at home going, man, I would love to come and be part of that, January the 8th to the 10th, I bet you don't even have a 2016 calendar yet, let alone have anything booked into that weekend. We're doing it all again, January the 8th to the 10th. We're doing this in Calgary, Alberta, so you need to find your own way here. But once you're here, the course itself, the Friday night from 6:30 till 9, Saturday and Sunday from 9 till 5:30, all complimentary. It is a gift that I'm able to give because of my father's passing, and he left me a lovely life insurance policy. And he also left me with a legacy. He asked me as he was passing, he said, can you answer me a question? I made a positive impact, didn't I? And I assured him that he did. And I decided that when this life insurance money came in, that I was going to continue his positive impact that he made in the world. And so I am offering these 2.5-day workshops where you, what's in it for you? Well, you will find out who you really are throughout it. You will learn how to move through and past those things that have weighed you down and made you not be the total person that you have the potential to be. You'll also step into your power and really discover who you are at your essence. One of the things that's really fun is that people often show up more of who they really are. As Shelley was saying earlier on, it's not about that she wasn't that way. It's just now she's more that way. So it's all about community. Now, in today's blog, I wrote about this because I remember as a young person feeling very alone and very disconnected. I remember as a student in elementary school, I wondered if I was adopted because I just didn't fit in my family. And I remember worrying if I was weird because I was told repeatedly, nobody thinks like that. Well, now I know that it's just because I'm a very creative thinker. I'm a very big picture thinker. And I do think about things that nobody else thinks about. And I kind of like it. But boy, when I was a kid, I just wanted to fit in. And I didn't feel like I was fitting in. I remember thinking and actually believing that I was crazy and everyone was just being nice to me because my dad was kind of important in the community. I just thought that they were being kind to me. But that's where I was as a child and an adolescent and a young woman. And I'm not there anymore. And I am so grateful that I connected, that I found my place, that I honored my uniqueness and valued my contributions. All those feelings, though, of feeling alone and disconnected, wondering if I was adopted, worrying that I was weird, thinking I was crazy, they've all led me to where I am today and have allowed me to create what I've created and contribute how I can to my community. So we get to decide how whatever happens to us, each and every experience, is going to affect us, is going to move us forward, or is going to slow us down. Each and every one of us has a place. And on the newsletter today, and also if you want to check on the blog on the Belief Repatterning website, you'll get the link to a wonderful song called All God's Creatures Have a Place in the Choir. And it's worth a look and a listen. It's a great little song that's sung by Tommy Makem and Liam Clancy on the video link that I gave you. But the theme of it is, all God's creatures have a place in the choir. Well, maybe we should just Maybe I'll just sing it. All God's people got a, all God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. So that's about every one of the creatures in you know, whether you have a belief in God or not, but all of the creatures on this earth have a place, and you do too. And so we'll do some repatterning around that, and then we're going to jump back in and speak to some of the other practitioners that are here. If you're new to the show, I'll say the statement first, and you can repeat it back. And maybe I will ask, I'm going to ask Vicky to say them along with me so that you can follow Vicky.
Sure.
So I'll say them first, and then Vicky will repeat them. This is nice. I don't have to do it twice. So we're going to start with the forgiveness statement. I forgive myself for believing that there's something wrong with me because I'm not like everybody else.
I forgive myself for believing there is something wrong with me because I am not like everybody else.
And breathe that in. And let it go. And so you're following the bouncing ball called Vicky, and I'll say the statement first, and then Vicky will repeat it for you, so follow along with this. I forgive myself for believing I need to compare myself to others and judge myself.
I forgive myself for believing I need to compare myself to others and judge myself.
And breathe it in and let it go. And you'll notice I did two forgiveness statements on that one instead of just the usual one, because I just thought, you know what? This is a really deep challenge for a lot of people. And so let's do two permissions as well. I give myself permission to be uniquely who I am.
I give myself permission to be uniquely who I am.
I give myself permission to value my contributions.
I give myself permission to value my contributions.
And that's the first two stages, forgiveness, which is the acknowledgement, which Eileen was talking about earlier, that we don't pretend things aren't there. We just acknowledge them and then move forward from them. The permission statement, which opens up the possibility, and then the choice statement. I choose to show up as me and bring my unique gifts to my community.
I choose to show up as me and bring my unique gifts to my community.
So that choice statement is very present and is a decision. Not any, really any action attached to it yet, but a decision. The action starts when we get into the freedom statement, which is where the visualization happens. I'm free to be appreciated for the unique individual I am within my community.
I am free to be appreciated for the unique individual I am within my community.
And breathe it in and let it go. And then the more specific that you can be on that, the freedom statements, the better they are. They just seem to sink in more when we're specific. So it might be, I'm free to be appreciated for the unique individual I am within my community with the volunteer work I do at, and put the specific place. So that freedom is looking forward. Now, the next statements are the affirmation statements, which are looking back. I know what it feels like to be valued and appreciated by others. It happened when I, and there's a dot, dot, dot after that. And whenever you see that in any of the repatterning statements, it's called just let whatever comes to your mind immediately come out of your mouth. Do not try to overthink this. Just let it flow. So I know what it feels like to be valued and appreciated by others. It happened when I walked into the room today and had lots of hugs from the practitioners who were already here. So Vicky, go ahead and you can put your own happened when I in, and we'll encourage listeners to do their own as well.
Very similar. I know what it feels like to be valued and appreciated by others. It happened when I received a hug from a client yesterday who had held on to her own self-talk for 92 years.
Nice. Isn't it fun when you get to work with old elderly people? Yeah, they're so cute. Yeah, I think you and I are going to be cute when we're 92 too. What do you think?
I'm cute now.
Yeah, there's that as well. All right. So I often will put a gratitude statement in as well. And so I'm so grateful too, and we'll put in a specific person's name, for valuing and appreciating my, and then a specific contribution. So I am so grateful too.
I am so grateful to Howard for valuing and appreciating my sense of humor.
Okay, breathe that one in. So again, that specificity helps. And some people are going, but wait a minute. Usually it's just forgiveness, permission, choice, freedom, affirmation, and then surrender. I like to throw gratitude in there wherever it fits, because
when in doubt, gratitude always helps. And then that final statement, which is a surrender statement, which is the I am. I am a valued contributing member of my community. And if you're having trouble with that, it could be something like, I am becoming a valued contributing member of my community, or I'm exploring how I might be a valued, or I'm deepening my ability to be. It doesn't have to be that solid piece that sometimes people have challenges with, but I am a valued contributing member of my community. Let's go with that one.
I am a valued contributing member of my community.
And breathe it in. So whatever your beliefs, the sentiment in that song, All God's Creatures Have a Place in the Choir, holds true. The music that we make in community needs everyone's voice, yours included. And I would say there is no more mouthing the words. I think that we're all being asked to step up and speak our truth. And that staying silent place just doesn't seem to be working very well anymore. All the people that I'm watching, it's like as if, you know, some kind of energetic something or other is asking us to just step up and step in. Are you finding that too, Vicki?
I am finding it, and I see it not only in, well, I see it in everyone. And there is an energetic flow that's happening that's asking you to show up in what feels right to you, not in comparison to others or, you know, stepping out on any great big stage. It can be that you're communicating with yourself in a more supportive way, which is the belief repatterning. And it's going to continue for quite a few years. So we may want to listen right now.
Well, what I'm finding is that if you don't listen, it kind of comes in and sideswipes you and checks you to the boards.
Yeah, I call that a cosmic 2x4.
Cosmic. And so you have a cosmic 2x4. I was talking about boards in hockey and you slammed up against the edge.
Oh, United States.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah. My Canadianism just always gives me away. Only you can add your unique piece. And I know that you bring a really unique aspect to the belief repatterning community, just from your background and where you've come from. So maybe you want to share that with listeners a bit. They may remember Vicki and I having a conversation the end of May and early June. We did a two-parter. But just what kind of reflections do you have for the audience today?
Well, I did start my entry into my community as an intuitive. And when I heard about the belief repatterning and it was brought to my attention, it added such a great tool, not only for myself, but for my clients to be able to have them out in the world and thinking and feeling, most importantly for me, feeling that they matter. And it's been personally such a huge help. Because that subconscious that you were talking about earlier, in the last few months, there's been some challenges in my own life. And I not once had to question that I was supporting myself with my subconscious. Like, it was just there to the point where people were questioning whether I was really handling everything well because I was too calm.
Yes.
And I said, well, I promise you I am. I just did the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was loaded in my programming so that when I needed it, because I used it and I lived it, the belief repatterning along with my own intuitive beliefs, that when I had to draw on it, it was automatically running. And I've said to people, it's kind of like the security software on your computer. It's always running. And sometimes it sends a little message up and you're like, oh, okay, thank you, computer software person who figured that out. And that's what the belief repatterning has felt like to me, that it's the system that runs where before overwhelmment may have run. And now it's like, no, I got this. And during the last couple of months when my husband was in the hospital, I had the nurses doing it. And I had the surgeons. I'm like, how are we going into this surgery? What are we believing? So this is probably my picture at the hospital right now, but it's a weirdo, but it worked. And they were all really appreciative that they were calm and they were going into it that way. So it does work so exponentially. And when you're not even thinking about it, it's working.
Yeah.
And that's why I get so excited about it. So,
yeah, and I think that's one of the really unique pieces, is that you don't have to think about it, because, you know, Everybody agrees we should think, well, everybody who's listening to us agrees. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir on this show, but, you know, we all agree for the most part that it's important to think positively. And
the trouble is that when you try to think positively, when you're in what I call the pit, or in overwhelm, or in upset, or in frustration, or in grief, or in anger, or in any of those kinds of things that can pull your energy down, when you try to think positively from there, it's really hard because you're on the wrong side of the line to access the creativity of your mind. And so when you're in that downward place, you simply cannot think positively. It's a little bit like lying flat on your back, you know, having fallen down the stairs and thinking I should go to the gym. You can't get there from here. But if you've got that running in the background, that's kind of what I often call the core strength of my emotions. It allows you to navigate so that when, you know, things get rocky or stormy or blustery or whatever they do, you are able to set your sail, if you will, and use whatever's happening to propel you in the direction that you want to move rather than having it capsize you and swamp you.
Well, and it's been my experience that it also supports when things are going so amazingly well, because that can capsize someone.
Exactly.
So when things are fantastic, you can have the practice of checking in already, and you can feel that out. Like if the opportunity is a good one for you, or if you're overspending just to overspend, you know, whatever the case may be, in when you're in that place of elation, there's also a balance that's required.
Yes.
So when it works on all levels, it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it seems a little simple, but it just makes sense.
One of the hardest things that we do as belief repairing practitioners is help people understand how easy it can be. We just have to wrap that big, beautiful human mind around it that thinks it's got to be, you know, no pain, no gain. It's got to be hard. And it's like, I don't know about you, but I got really tired of that. You know,
it's exhausting. Exactly. I don't want to prove that I have every right to be happy. I want to just be happy.
Uh-huh.
So, and this supports that, you know, belief, like when you were saying when you were younger, that, you know, you thought you were the one that was on the wrong side. And it's like, hello. And, you know, people work very hard to be happy. Well, put a little effort into something that I think is simple, but is effective. Mm-hmm. Effective.
I remember my mom saying to me, don't sing so much. You know, and looking back, I think it was probably just irritating her because she wasn't singing and happy, whereas my spirit was just singing all the time. And I remember thinking at that point in time, just tell me to quit breathing. That would be easier. Mm-hmm. You know, it was my natural state, but it was something that wasn't understood or appreciated. And I think that there's something, you know, kind of fundamentally wrong with our human way of being, that we think that it has to be hard. It has to be a struggle. Mm-hmm. We have to work hard and, you know, it just seems to be a wrong perception that I'm setting out to change in the world.
I think it's misguided.
Misguided. Yeah. Yeah. I think we can make it be more fun.
Yeah. It's supposed to be fun.
And that's what it's supposed to be fun. Absolutely. So thanks so much, Vicki.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you being here. And we're going to move over to Thelma now. And Thelma has joined us here. She lives in the beautiful area of Vancouver Island as well. And she's flown in today. Thanks so much for being here, Thelma.
Thank you, Suze.
And so you've had some pretty interesting things happen with you and your family through belief repatterning.
Yeah.
What would you like to share with the audience?
Those repatterning statements you just did really rang true as far as my family and my kids in particular fitting in. My oldest child is 14 and has high-functioning autism. He was basically kicked out of school in grade 6 because of his anxiety. Homeschooled for 2 years. Now he's back at school part-time, and he comes home and says that kids say that he's cool.
Oh, nice!
And that he is actually, in the class he's in, he's actually better than most of the kids in math. And at physical activities, he's better than the other kids. And that's fantastic.
Great.
So he's been able to find his community. He now has the strength to find his community. I've called home from work and he's been on the downside of the line, and I've just had to say 2 words and he's able to get himself now to the other side of the line.
Nice.
So it's had a tremendous effect on the calmness and on our family.
Great. That's really cool. And so in terms of how you support others, I mean, really nice things that you're doing with your family, but you've started to do some outreach in your community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a part of a small group of about 700 moms.
Small group of 700?
Yeah.
That sounds a little oxymoronic to me. That sounds like a big group.
It's a really nice group. It's through Facebook, and it's of the local community and really supportive. And so to give back, we started doing workshops on self-esteem, on values, on honoring yourself. And the feedback, I recently did a survey, and the feedback has been tremendous. They have got lots of growth. There have lots of young moms have now reached out and are finding their community and support.
Great. And so you're bringing that work as a, mm-hmm. as a belief or patterning practitioner into your community to affect change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Thank you so much for coming into the advance. Thank you for stepping up. And thank you so much for supporting your son, because I often think I just believe as a teacher, when I see kids that have different learning challenges, I don't even know what an average kid really is, but they have such gifts that when we can tap in and find the pathway in, it's just, they're amazing. They've got so much to offer. And so that's really, really wonderful that you've been able to support your son in that way.
Thank you.
And let him, I mean, who knows what he's going to bring to the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those ripples that go out, we never know where they're going to land.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So we are looking at, just if you've just joined us, you may want to wind her back to the whole afternoon here. We've been speaking today with all of the practitioners that have gathered into town in Calgary. And earlier on, we spoke with Meg, and she was speaking about how she was supporting some young women that she works with. But I really, really would like her to share with you a story that she told me about how she used belief repatterning to literally cross the finish line.
Yeah.
So, Meg, thanks so much for sharing that with folks.
Yeah. So I had set a goal, and I've just started working on it again to do the World Marathon. Marathons, there's six of them, and I had an opportunity to do the Chicago Marathon a couple weeks ago with 44,000 of my closest friends.
A small group.
And I trained, you know, I put in the work. I trained for about 4 months and everything was going great. First 6 miles were awesome. And then I twisted one ankle and then the other. So I'm hobbling along. And then mile 16, my body's like, no dice, like no more. And so I had a decision to make with the last 10 miles. And it's still setting in for me. It was like, okay, do I either want to do my personal best or do I want to finish? And I was like, oh, I want to finish. I don't care how it happens. So I actually was able, because I was so, I'll be honest, and this is not totally PC. I was so pissed. I was so pissed that I put in all that training, and I live in the South and it was hot when I was running. It was hot all summer when I was running. And I just was like, okay, I'm just going to start doing statements. I'm going to just start walking and I'm just going to look for the next mile marker. So I went from 16 to 17, 17 to 18, 18 to 19. And if you don't know, a marathon's 26.2 miles. And I kept checking behind me to see if the sag wagon was coming to kind of clear the course. And the last 400 meters I ran, well, as much as I could, as much as my body would let me. And I crossed the finish line. I didn't officially finish. I missed the mark by about 27 minutes, but I'm going back. I'm just giving my body a couple weeks to heal. I'm actually going back to running. And I'll tell you what's interesting. 6 years ago when I did my first marathon, I didn't run for a year and a half after.
Wow.
Because and they're like, you finished. You're in such a good mood. I was like, I'm so grateful to see the big finish sign. I mean, I told them, I was like, I'm going to make it if I have to crawl.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care how it happens. I'm just getting there.
And so when you said that you were doing statements, can you maybe share with the listeners a little bit about what that means? Because you know what it means. I know what it means, but
so,
they don't.
I mean, probably where I had to sit the most was forgiveness and permission. So like one of them was, I forgive myself for believing that I'm failing because I have to walk.
Mm.
I forgive myself for believing that I'm not a runner because I have to walk to finish. That's a big one actually for me. You know, I give myself permission to finish any way I can. even if it means I'm crawling on my hands and knees, and Vicky's nodding because she runs too. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. I got to the finish line. I was like, someone switched my legs today. I was like, someone's got my legs that work, and they gave me their duds.
Just washed my legs and I can't do a thing with them.
But it's, you know, because I mean, I could have easily sat down and quit.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, there's a lot of curbs that I could have sat down and quit. And I mean, I didn't stop. I stopped twice to stretch, but that was it. Because I was like, if I stop, yeah, you know, Vicky's nodding. You don't start back up. I mean, when I finished and sat down, I actually had to have people help me back up
because
I just, my body was done.
Mm-hmm. And that place of, you know, giving yourself permission to just mm-hmm. really, and I know you've been doing it since then, just to giving yourself permission to be just grateful that you've completed, giving yourself that kind of permission is super important as well. And so I know that you did a little kind of tricky thing on your shoes that I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I actually also wrote statements on my legs, which I forgot to tell you guys, but, on my shoes, on the insoles, I wrote, like if you turn them towards each other, the soles mm-hmm. towards each other. One, I wrote fast finisher. Okay, I didn't do it fast, but I did finish. And the other one I wrote strong and confident. And on my legs, I wrote strong and confident and permanent marker, which I'm still trying to get off. I don't recommend that. But it was, you know, because I just knew that I was going to finish strong, and I did. I mean, you know, it may not have looked strong, but it, based on where, you know, I was,
and I was strong. Here, you know, in this room of eight people, the number of people who have completed a marathon is, I think, two. And so, you know, no, only one. Okay, so only one. All right. And so, you know, that's one of the things.
I'm the only crazy one. I got it.
Nah, I forgive myself for believing I'm crazy. I give myself permission to claim my confidence and my empowerment.
Yeah.
I can choose to see myself as crazy, or I can be confident and empowered, and I'm choosing.
I'm choosing confident, empowered, and strong.
Good stuff, because that's who you really are.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing that with us. We have just a few minutes left, and not that we're saving the best to last, but I really wanted to just touch base here with Brenda, who's been doing all of the logistics for the Flip Your Switch weekend. She's one of our practitioners, another one of the early adoptees, who was in at the very beginning, as well as Carolyn and Eileen, who we spoke with earlier. What would you like to share with the group about repatterning?
I thought I was going to get through this show without crying, and then Meg made me cry. I always cry when I do this show with Susan. I thought I was going to get through it this time, so I'm grateful to Belief Repatterning really for getting me in touch with what emotion is. And that was huge for me, because I came to Belief Repatterning with no emotional vocabulary, and I still cry more when I'm happy than I do when I'm sad, but none at all, and it's given me that insight and understanding of what feelings are about. And in two really, really interesting events in my life, it's kept me in a place that I was unbelievably positive. On the way to the advance, 2009, I took a drive off the side of a mountain and fractured my C1. And I got out of the car, I just surrendered to what was going on in the energy. And when I got out of the car, both Suze and I thought I was going to be at the advance an hour later or 2 hours later or whatever it was later that day. And it was very, very, a very interesting journey that took me on in terms of learning to ask for what I need, to being able to hear people say no and really being grateful when they say no, because it just lets something better show up and it lets them be in a place where they're relaxed about it if they can be relaxed and say no. And so I've also learned to say no and think about what I say yes to,
mm-hmm.
and really make conscious choices about that. So that's, and of course the other one was the stunning one, which was the day my dad died and we were going to the funeral, and not the day he died, but going to the funeral. And I'm staying with Susan. We check in for our word for the day, and my word for the day was joy. And it let me go through a day hearing nothing but the joy that people bring to each other's lives. And that's what this community does.
Mm, thank you for that. You're going to get me crying. Tears of joy. But yeah, I tell that story in the book because I think it's really profound, because I remember you looking at me and going, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I trust this work.
and you just surrendered into that. And it was like, there must be joy, and asking people what were the joyous things that they remembered about your father.
Yeah.
And I remember you coming home that night and you were just happy. And, you know, I mean, yes, you had the loss, but you had celebrated the man and the way that he was in your connection with him.
Absolutely.
So really appreciate everyone coming in today. Thank you so much to Eileen, to Thelma, to Meg, to Vicky, to Shelley, to Carolyn, and to Brenda for joining me. And if you would like to join us, Flip Your Switch is available to you. You can find out more about it on our website, and we'll be back here next week on Contact Talk Radio. Until then, remember, you can, and in fact already are, repatterning absolutely anything you choose. Take good care of yourselves, hug the ones you love, and we'll talk to you next week.
The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.